We're starting a series of messages titled Growing More and More in Sanctification as we study this wonderful text in 1 Thessalonians. Main lesson is this: every Christian in every church is urged to grow more and more in Christ-likeness. Another word for Christ-likeness is sanctification. Another word for sanctification is holiness. And so we're supposed to grow more and more in Christ-likeness. Well, the story is told about a stagecoach company who was hiring teamsters to drive its stagecoaches through a mountainous area. The local office manager had advertised for the position, and people began to apply for the job. As they were interviewed, the boss would ask each applicant the same question. And here's the question he would ask: how close can you drive the team to the edge of the cliff as you round a mountain? Well, the first fellow replied that he was skilled enough that he could drive the stagecoach within 3 foot of the edge of the cliff. The boss thanked him for coming in and giving him his time and called in the next applicant. In the course of the interview, the boss asked the next man the same question: how close can you drive the stagecoach to the edge of the cliff? And he replied that he could drive the stagecoach within 1 foot of the edge of the cliff. The boss once again thanked this fella and let him out the door. Third applicant came in. Of course, the boss asked the same question: how close can you drive the stagecoach to the edge of the cliff? This applicant said, well, I would drive the stagecoach as far as I could away from the edge of the cliff. He got the job. This story illustrates to us a biblical principle of holiness, being set apart, separated from the world. There's great wisdom in steering as far away from the edge of the cliff as is possible. You know, many times as Christians, we steer as close to the edge of the cliff of worldliness and sin as we can. It's part of the old nature, and that old nature raises its head up and wants to be let out. Old habits are hard to break, church family, especially old sinful habits are hard to break sometimes. But we need to be more and more like this third man, spiritually speaking. We need to get as far away as we can from the edge of the world's grip and the sinfulness of this world as it tries to influence us, I promise I have not been nipping anything this morning, except a Meliella. You know what I'm trying to say, don't you? We need to get as far away from the world's influence as possible in our Christian life. And the question before us is, how do we do that? Well, we do that when we grow more and more every day in the image of Jesus Christ. As we grow to dislike the things that He disliked and grow to like the things that He liked. As those old habits get whooped, as we see the appeal of Jesus Christ and living like Him more pleasurable than living like the world. And we must realize that it is the will of God for us to grow in holiness, in sanctification, and in Christ-likeness more and more every day. So look with me at the first three verses of chapter 4 this morning in our study of 1 Thessalonians. And here's what Paul teaches us in point number 1. The will of God for the church, growing in sanctification. Look at these verses. Paul says, finally then, brothers, we ask and urge, almost like a plea and then an exhortation, a command, if you will, that you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and how you ought to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so, how? More and more. For you know, verse 2 says, for you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. And here it is, the will of God. Don't you just love when the will of God is spelled out for you plainly? No guesswork. And here's the will of God. Your sanctification. Well, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you, for we are your children and we are in progress. We are in the walk of our lives, in the journey of our lives home, for earth is not our home. We are, as the song says, just passing through. And as we pass through, we are given instruction from your word what we are to do. And that is we are to grow in sanctification and holiness for your glory and really for our good and for the good of the world. And so, Father, this morning, would you please give us ears to hear and eyes to see and a taste for this, the treasure of your holy word. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen and amen. Amen, sister. Amen. Paul's given us a lot to think about up through chapter 3 so far in this short epistle to the Thessalonica church. And here at the beginning of chapter 4, Paul shifts gears a little bit here, for we see the word finally. That is, in the ESV, the first word of chapter 1, or verse 1 of chapter 4 is finally. And it's almost as if Paul is telling the church, he's at the end of his sermon, now in closing. Now, once that happens, many of the congregants will turn the pastor off and begin thinking about Sunday afternoon, what they're going to do or what they're not going to do or what's for lunch, who's coming over, and that kind of thing. But please, church family, don't turn off your spiritual ears, your spiritual eyes, your spiritual mind. Paul uses the word finally here, not to show this is the end of what needs to be heard, but to get our attention because it marks an important emphasis of teaching from here to the end of the Thessalonica letter, the first letter to the church of Thessalonica. It's as if he has saved the very best for the last. He is saving instruction for the church family so that we know how to live in this world on our way home. And so he's giving some very powerful and practical teaching about having a growing faith in Jesus Christ. And don't we all need that? Like the sign says, we need a growing faith. We absolutely do. Doesn't matter where you're at in your spiritual walk, there's always room for spiritual growth. One theologian tells us Paul is going to give them his exhortation to excellence. How do Christians live an excellent life, an extraordinary life? And Paul's about to fill that blank in for us. And so I think this is worth listening to. So one of the first truths that Paul confronts us with in chapter 4 is this simple truth. We're not saved to become sedentary saints. We're saved to be growing saints in the Lord Jesus Christ, growing in holiness, growing in righteousness, growing in excellence in our Christian walk. And I don't know about you, sometimes it feels I take one step back and, or one step forward and two steps back. It just depends on the day sometimes. But the point is we don't take those two steps back and stay there. The point is that we keep moving forward, even if it's a baby step. We keep moving forward in our Christian walk growing in Christ's likeness, because we're saved for a much higher calling, a much loftier life in Christ Jesus. We're born again of the Holy Spirit to pursue excellence in Christ Jesus. We're not meant for the barnyard, for the spiritual barnyard of averageness. We're meant to spiritually ascend into heights that we've never been to before. And Paul uses this phrase, which is one Greek word. He uses it more and more than once in these first 12 verses. And so he tells us, in order to do that, Paul asks, he asks them, he urges them, he exhorts them in the Lord Jesus, that is, with the authority of Jesus Christ, that they walk in such a way that they seek to please God. Sounds so simple, doesn't it? And I guess in a sense, it is simple. And that they do this more and more. So what is the point of our Christian walk? To please God more and more. Now, if we're going to please God more and more, then that means we're going to stop pleasing the old self more and more. We're going to stop trying to please the world more and more. That the focus of our walk, and I'm glad he used that word, walk. You know, there's a difference between a walk and a sprint. And the Christian life is not a sprint by no means. Sometimes we have to walk faster than other times, but it's a walk. It is getting out there and walking day in and day out, growing more and more in order, in sanctification, in order to please God. What is the point of our life? To please God, bottom line. To please God, to enjoy Him more and more every day. And Paul just writes it under the Holy Spirit's guidance so wonderfully here in verse 1. We're not meant to be inactive in our spiritual walk. We're meant to actively engage day in and day out more and more in our spiritual walk in order to please the Lord. One person said we must not settle for mediocrity in our spiritual lives. And so many times, I think I have. Maybe you feel the same way. We must strive for excellence in our spiritual lives more and more so that we walk in such a way that we please God. And that becomes the first thing on our minds before our feet hit the floor every morning. I want to walk in a way that I please the Lord. And that needs to be the final thought of the day. Lord, help me awaken tomorrow that I please You more and more. That's the theme, the mantra of our Christian faith. And Paul says he asks, he urges these Christians to walk more and more in such a way that they do that, that they please God. So it should be our goal in life, day to day. And I know if you're like me, you have to remind yourself of this, because I'll get distracted and I'll walk another path that I shouldn't walk. We just have to, it has to be on the tip of our brains all the time. Lord, help me to please You today. Lord, is what I'm about to say God-honoring? Lord, is what I'm about to do pleasing to You? And I guarantee if we start thinking that way, it'll change the way we speak, it'll change the way we live. And better yet, it'll retrain our brain. And that's where the battles fall, is in the brain. Because the body doesn't do except what the heart tells it to do. And so, is it your goal to please God more and more each and every day? And if it is, then we must establish patterns. We must establish pathways in our lives that will make us more and more like Christ. And that involves how we think and how we live. Great example of this. Y'all know we got a dog, Sully. Well, he likes his little treats. He may be upstairs or in the next room, two rooms over, but when he hears That box opened up and that little paper rattle. I don't even have to turn around. I know where he's at. He's right there. And he's and I don't have to do anything. He sat down and he's like this. Because he's just trained to get a treat like that. So this is what I do to him. I get two treats out. And he, you know, I don't have to do anything anymore. He just takes the position. I shake his hand and give him the treat. And then I throw the other one in the den for him to have to run after and search for. And before he can even finish the first one, he's running after the next one to try to find that. You know, and I just share that with you because that is a pattern in his life. That and that is because that's stuck in his little brain. Even a dog can learn like that in those patterns. You know, the biggest problem for us is before we were Christians, we had patterns established in our brains. We had thought ways and processes that were just, that we were born with, that were in angst and opposition to the will of God. And we naturally fell into those things because that's what naturally comes to us, because that's the way the brain's wired. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's the way we're trained. And so after we're born again, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit can retrain us automatically, and He does in certain things. But sometimes it's just a lifetime of mercy that God has for us. Because if we're not careful, we'll fall right back into those old patterns of thinking, those old patterns of doing, because that old nature is right there with us. And it's a matter of taking every thought captive in obedience to Christ Jesus. And let me tell you what, the older we get, the harder our brains are to change. Amen? We have less to work with, and what's there has coagulated a little bit more. But I'll tell you this, under the power of the Holy Spirit, it can happen. Amen? God can make us more and more like Christ. That little phrase, more and more, is from a single Greek word. It means to abound, or to overflow, or to be over and above. And so one theologian says this, a closely related form of the word, that Greek word, can mean extraordinary or surpassing. So we are to grow in Christ-likeness over and above what we were the day before, or the week before, or the year before. We're to grow into extraordinary images of the Lord Jesus Christ, surpassing what we have been, becoming what we can be in Jesus Christ. And so Paul wanted the Thessalonian church to be full of extraordinary Christians. Amen? And that's what we want today. Those who abound and overflow with holiness, those who are being set apart from this world and set apart for the Lord, set apart from the law of sin and set apart to the law of the Holy Spirit. Now, how do we do that? How do Christians become extraordinary Christians? Well, verse 2, notice with me there, look. For you know what instructions, key word there, we gave you through who? The Lord Jesus. So in part, I think prayer is a big part of this too, but in part, it has to do with being taught and receiving instructions through the Lord Jesus. So Paul, he wasn't preaching and teaching his word, but instead he was the Lord's messenger, as we've learned so far in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, speaking the Lord's word, and this church accepted what he preached and taught as if it were God speaking himself, the Lord's word. And as such, his preaching then came to them under the authority of Jesus Christ, because it was the very word of God, and it carried the authority of the Lord God. And they listened. And by that instruction, they were becoming more and more Christ-like, growing to be extraordinary Christians. Now, I'm here to tell you that doesn't happen overnight. Maybe for some folks, it does happen overnight. But I think for the vast majority of us, it's like Paul said, to walk in a way pleasing to God. That walk imagery is just a day-to-day growing. You know, and I'll be the first to tell you that in my day-to-day growing, there are victories and there are losses. But thanks be to God, He gives me the key to overcoming those losses, and that is to repent of my sins and ask His forgiveness, and He restores me to all righteousness. And that's how we overcome those losses. We seek His forgiveness. Now, I don't know how often you have to do that, but I have found more and more in my later life I have to do that more and more. And that's because it's become very apparent to me how unholy I can be and how holy Jesus Christ is. Well, let's move on. Doing this is something that we walk in. Again, it's not a sprint. It's a lifelong commitment to receiving instruction from the Lord and obeying the teachings of the Word of God, the commandments, His commandments. It involves, again, how we think and what we think about, that we walk in such a way that we think things that are pleasing to God. Then we can walk in ways pleasing to God. Now, all of that in verses 1 through 2 tells us about becoming an extraordinary Christian is summed up in the first part of verse 3, where the first part of verse 3, Paul tells us, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." Don't you just love it when the Bible says, "This is God's will for your life"? I just love that. And this is the only time that Paul says, what is the will of God for a Christian's life? He tells us more things that are the will of God for a Christian's life, and we're going to get to those things. But I just love it. I don't have to think. I don't have to wonder exactly what he meant by this. It's not poetry. You know, poetry sometimes is difficult to understand. This is just straightforward, a letter, and it says, this is the will of God, that you grow in sanctification. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Isn't that good? Good stuff is often hard to do, though, isn't it, Courtney? It really is. But the good thing about this, it's not hard to understand what the will of God is for our life. Anywhere the Bible says this is the will of God for your life, you need to pay attention to it. You need to heed those words. You need to do your best to try to understand what that means and how I can do that, how I can apply that to my walk. And so this verse just simply tells us that each Christian here today, the exact and precise and specific will of God for the authentic church. And the will of God for every single Christian is your sanctification. Hallelujah, Pastor Gravy. I'm just so thankful for that. Now, let's define this Greek word, sanctification. Simply defined, sanctification is the process, the walk, right? Paul used walk. The process of being separated from sin and then set apart for God's pleasure, right? So it's two things, separated from sin and set apart for pleasing God, for the pleasure of God. Another way of putting it is that we grow more and more in holiness, in righteousness, in blamelessness, and godliness. And yet another way of putting it is that we grow more and more Christ-like. Now, I don't want any of us to think that, boy, I tell you what, I'm there. I don't need to change because God made me right the first time. Right? You know, Paul often urged the Christians in different churches, do not think too highly of yourself. And isn't that a tendency, church family? I mean, who is your best admirer? Person you see in the mirror. That's your best admirer. You're your chief fan. And sometimes we've got to be honest with ourselves, don't we? Boy, oh boy, there's a lot of work that that person in the mirror needs to do. You know what? I don't take that as defeat. I take that as a step towards holiness, blamelessness, godliness. Because I think when you're ready to accept, hey, I'm not as good as I think I am. I'm not as holy as I pretend to be. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. Then you're ready to start the walk of sanctification, where you're separating yourself from sin in this world and you're setting yourself apart for the pleasure of God. And that's what we need to do. No Christian should ever think, I've arrived in full holiness. I'm as holy as I can ever be. Because growing in sanctification, although it started at the moment we were born again, it does not end until we step into heaven. That's when that process stops. It's a lifelong walk to become more and more and more like Christ. And guess what? That is the will of God for our lives. Let me share just a few scriptures when it comes to sanctification that I think helps me, and I hope that it helps you. Sanctification is a changing of the mind and the heart. It is a reshaping the thoughts of the mind so that we walk in such a way that we are pleasing to God. And the only way we can do that is when we know what the Word of God is. And Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he says, do not be conformed to the world. So I think that is a part of sanctification. Stop trying to please the world. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And then he writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. I can tell you where we get in trouble. It's when we let our minds wander to places they should not go. Amen? And that's when we get in trouble. One theologian said, holy character is not vicarious and cannot be transferred or imputed. It is to be pursued day by day by obeying the truth we have learned and imitating the example of truth personified, Christ Jesus, our Lord, enabled by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Just simply put, it's getting a new master. That's what it is. Who would be the Lord Jesus Christ. And the other part is giving up the throne of our lives to Him and living daily according to His commandments. It's replacing the carnal desires, as we'll see, with godly desires. And this takes dedication and commitment. So church family, if there's one thing that you take home with you today, it would be this. Knowing the will of God. And what is the will of God? Your sanctification. That is the will of God. Amen? Now, I didn't make that up. That came straight out of God's Word. Straight out of God's Word. Well, let me finish with this little story. The story is told of a young girl who accepted Christ as her Savior and applied for membership in a local church. Were you a sinner before you received the Lord Jesus into your life? Asked a deacon. Yes, sir. Well, are you still a sinner? And this is what she said. To tell you the truth, I feel I'm a greater sinner than ever. Then what real change have you experienced? The deacon asked. Well, I don't know quite how to explain it, she said, except this. I used to be a sinner running after sin, but now that I'm saved, I'm a sinner running away from sin. She immediately was led into the membership of the church. She lived a consistent godly life thereafter. And church family, that's just another way of saying what sanctification is. Sanctification, although we know we're going to struggle with sin, is we don't run to it, but we run away from it. Sanctification. Let's pray together. Lord, help us in our pursuit of sanctification. Help us, Lord, Father God, to grow in Christ's likeness for your pleasure and your glory and our good. In Jesus' name, amen.